shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
Gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises.
Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a song.
God is the King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham.
For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
God has gone up with a shout. Thank you.
For 40 days after the resurrection, the disciples waited in Jerusalem for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise of baptism with the Holy Spirit. Over those 40 days, Jesus showed up in the flesh and made an appearance to two or three of the disciples here or there along the way. But in today's reading from Acts, we hear about the moment when they have all come together and they are all with him again. Can't you just see the restless excitement that must have been on the faces of the disciples? Those disciples who were overflowing with expectations that this was the moment that all their hopes had been pinned on. This was the moment when all of Jesus' promises would be realized. Finally, all their waiting would be over. But that's not exactly what happened. So hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he had presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men robed in white stood by them. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes the ascension, this moment in time when the Son of God rises on a cloud and returns to heaven from whence he came and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, sometimes this moment gets a little lost in the shuffle. It gets lost between the grandeur of Easter and the power of Pentecost. But the church has quietly celebrated this holy day of ascension for many years now. On this day, the church has gathered together in worship and read this incredible story of the Son of God rising through the clouds, returning from whence he came. The ascension celebrates the completion and the culmination of Jesus' life and ministry on earth. His ministry isn't complete until he returns to God the Father and God the Spirit. But it's not what those first disciples were expecting when Jesus had gathered them all together once again. Scripture says as they watch Jesus ascend to heaven, we know that they are a fearful, waiting community. A scholar I read this week calls them anxious and bewildered. They have no power of their own, no claim of fame of their own, and no cause for self-congratulation. And now their beloved leader is God. But in this very moment, which is so full of fear, life in the church is changed forever. Jesus is no longer there to preach the good news, heal the sick, and feed the hungry. This mission now falls to his disciples. And with that mission comes this incredible power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which we look forward to next Sunday. Great power is given to this fragile little community. And suddenly they have an abundance of energy and courage and imagination and resources that they never expected to have. In the next chapter of Acts, we see them transformed into a confident and passionate community of disciples who meet together and pray together and give so that everyone who has need will be taken care of. And they eagerly embrace Jesus' last commandment to them as they watch him ascend into the sky. He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." For those first disciples, this ascension marks the moment in time when Jesus hands off his ministry to his followers and sends them out to be his witnesses. Our second reading this morning is from 1 John, and I'm going to start at verse 1 in that chapter 5, because it picks up on this same theme of being a witness. So here again, what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive human testimony, then the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to the Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Like those first disciples on the Ascension Day, the community of 1 John is another fearful, waiting community, anxious and bewildered. They were once a powerful and influential Christian community, but have just watched half of the church, their fellow members, walk out the door over theological disagreements. They are feeling untethered and lost, and a large piece of who they thought they were is gone. The church finds itself again paralyzed and stuck in a moment of fear. They are in deep need of assurance of who they belong to and what it is they are called to do as a community of faith. Are you sensing a pattern here? As Jesus ascends on the cloud, he gives the first disciples the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, who not many days from now will baptize them. In those moments, they will be claimed by God and named as beloved children and commissioned to believe and to share the good news of eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's what he said on that first Ascension Day. And as this community of faith in 1 John, as they live together, they have received that gift that God promised on that Ascension Day. They have received the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, and their lives have been changed in that same way. And once again, power has been given to this fragile little community, and they are transformed. And for them, power is lived out in love, which is 1 John's favorite theme. But this isn't the sappy love of the Hallmark stories that I sometimes find myself watching for hours and hours at a time. This is a strong and commanding kind of love which requires painful self-sacrifice. It's the kind of love that is demonstrated, 1 John says, not in word and speech, but in truth and in action, specifically through obeying God's commandments. And through all of this, through the loving and the obeying and the self-sacrificing, they live out their faith. Their lives become their testimony that speaks to their faith in eternal life with Jesus Christ. For the community of 1 John, when they would gather together and remember the story of the Ascension, they would hear Jesus saying those same words of commissioning to them. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we've talked about what the Ascension meant to those first disciples who witnessed it firsthand and were called to be witnesses to others. And we've talked about what the Ascension meant to those later disciples in 1 John who lived their witness by the self-giving way that they loved each other. So our question this morning is this: can the Ascension possibly have any meaning for us today when we are so far removed from biblical times? Does Jesus' ascension really have anything to say to us today in 2018 here in Portsmouth, Ohio, which seems to be about as opposite as you can get from the Middle East in biblical times? Let's think back to that situation of the disciples in Acts and 1 John. They were fearful, waiting communities, anxious and bewildered. They had no power of their own, no claim of their own, and no cause for self-congratulation. They felt lost and untethered at the sudden disappearance of their beloved Jesus in Acts and their beloved fellow church members in 1 John. They were fragile and afraid and broken. Does that feel a little bit familiar today? It's always been hard to be the church. The books of the Bible and centuries of church history plainly tell us that. It's always hard to be the church because it's our job to disagree with or to stand up to the world around us. It's our job to challenge those who are in power, not to forget or trample on those who are most vulnerable. It's our job to call people to pray for their enemies. It's our job to counsel others to forgive the most unforgivable in others because God has forgiven the most unforgivable in us. It is always, always hard to be the church. And if being the church ever feels easy, it's probably because we're not being who the church is supposed to be. But the good news is that just like God gifted the communities of faith in that first century, we are gifted in the same way. Though we are fragile and broken after Jesus' ascension, power has been given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And now suddenly, through no achievement that we can take credit for, we have an abundance of gifts at our disposal. Energy and courage and imagination and resources beyond what we can use. God has given us all that we need to be the church and is sending us out to be his witnesses in our words and in our lives. To the ends of the earth. Whenever I think about the Ascension, I always return to the prayer of Teresa of Avila, who lived in the 1500s. And I'm sure I've mentioned this to you before, but it bears repeating this morning. She wrote this, or is at least attributed as reading this. God of love, help us to remember that Christ has no body now on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes to see the needs of the world. Ours are the hands with which to bless everyone now. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Sometimes in the midst of our fearfulness, when we are overwhelmed at how hard it is to be the church, we end up looking a lot like those disciples who were standing there staring up at the clouds, watching Jesus disappear. I'm guessing with kind of a dumbstruck look on their face and probably their mouths hanging open in shock. But for us, celebrating the Ascension means going from the place where we gaze into the clouds to the places where the world needs Christ. We are called to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the voice of Christ here in Portsmouth and to the ends of the earth. As we witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, who is not just our risen Lord, but our risen and ascended Lord, who is now our advocate and our intercessor and our biggest fan, now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.